Your food stockpile is the inventory, the cans, bags, buckets, and jars that make up what your household can eat when a grocery run is not an option. Where food storage is the system that keeps that food good, the stockpile is what you put into it. Building one on purpose instead of in a panic saves money, cuts waste, and replaces a vague worry with a shelf you can count on. Most people start a food stockpile without ever calling it one. A few extra cans before a storm, an extra case of water when the forecast turns. That covers those three-day scenarios, and it is a real start. Moving from there to 2 weeks, and then to months, is the work that carries a household from getting started to sufficiently prepared. Start with a week of your own dinners. Write down what your family actually ate, then count what it would take to make those meals again without a store. That list is the honest foundation of your food stockpile, and it beats any list you will find online, including this one. What to stockpile? What you stockpile decides whether the food gets eaten or thrown away. A reserve built for meals your family recognizes rotates itself, because you are already cooking those meals. A reserve built from a stranger's list sits still until the dates pass. Aim for real nutrition rather than raw calories. A body under stress needs protein, fat, fiber, and vitamins to keep working and thinking clearly, and variety keeps people eating when their appetite is the first thing stress takes. The categories below give you the range to pull from. The containers that protect each one are covered in the food storage guide. Canned goods. The workhorse of most stockpiles. Affordable, available everywhere, and already cooked, so they can be eaten cold when the power is out. Vegetables, fruit, beans, soups, stews, tuna, chicken, salmon. They also carry water content, which matters more than people expect when water is rationed. They are heavy and bulky, so they suit your shorter tiers best. Dry staples. Rice, dried beans, lentils, pasta, oats, and flour are the cheapest calories you can store, and they keep for years when packed correctly. Rice and beans together make a complete protein, which is why they anchor so many reserves. Plan the cooking alongside them, because dry staples need water and heat, and both can be scarce exactly when you reach for them. Freeze-dried and dehydrated. The longest shelf life available, often 25 years, at a fraction of the weight. They range from single ingredients to complete meals. You pay for that in cost and in water, since all of it needs reconstituting. These earn their place in your long-term tier and in a bug-out bag where every pound counts. Bulk basics. Salt, sugar, honey, cooking oil, powdered milk, bouillon, spices, and baking staples turn plain calories into actual meals. Salt and sugar keep essentially forever. Give fats particular attention, because they are calorie dense, easy to overlook, and your body needs them to function. Morale foods. Coffee, tea, chocolate, hard candy, and drink mixes do real work on a hard day. They matter most for children, who cope far better when something still feels normal. Rotate them like everything else. Emergency food kits. A prepackaged kit arrives as a bucket of freeze-dried meals with a shelf life measured in decades. The appeal is obvious. One purchase, one box, and a chunk of your long-term tier is handled without any packing on your part. The trade is cost and control. You pay a premium per calorie against building the same tier yourself from dry staples, and you get whatever the manufacturer decided belongs in the bucket. Serving counts tend to be optimistic, so read the calories per day rather than the servings printed on the label. Kits earn their place when time is what you are short of, or when you want a block of food that requires no decisions. If you have more time than money, build the tier yourself. If you have more money than time, a kit gets you there this week. Either way, buy one and eat it before you buy six, because the only way to learn whether your family will eat it is to feed it to them on an ordinary Tuesday. What you preserved yourself. Everything you can, dry, or cure through food preservation lands in your stockpile too, and it is the cheapest food on the shelf because you already own it. A garden that produces more than you can eat this week becomes next winter's inventory. Home canned jars and dehydrated food store differently than store-bought, so reference the relative food preservation guides. Household realities. Account for dietary restrictions and allergies so nobody is left without something safe to eat. Infants need formula and appropriate soft foods and cannot simply eat what everyone else does. If anyone in the house takes medication that has to be paired with food, build that food in. And count your pets, because extra pet food belongs on the shelf as surely as your own. How much and in what order? Two questions: size of food stockpile, how many people you feed, and how long you intend to feed them. Work in tiers and you reach a real milestone quickly instead of assembling an expensive pile of random food. Each tier stands on its own, so you are genuinely prepared at every step rather than only at the end. Daily targets. plan roughly 2,000 calories per person per day, adjusting up for active adults and down for small children. Pair every day of food with a gallon of stored water per person, since much of what you store needs water to cook. Those figures are a starting point, not a rule. Your own week of dinners, counted honestly, will tell you more than any average. Tier 1, 2 weeks. 2 weeks per person is the first real milestone, and it covers most of what actually happens to households: storms, outages, illness, a lost paycheck. FEMA points at the same window. Build it from the canned goods and dry staples you already buy, simply purchasing a little extra each trip. Reaching 2 weeks puts you ahead of most of your neighborhood. Tier 2, 1 to 3 months. This tier carries you through the longer disruptions, the ones measured in weeks rather than days. Lean harder on dry staples and bulk basics here, because cost per calorie starts to matter at this volume. Keep enough canned and morale food in the mix that eating from it still feels like eating. Tier 3, the long-term A. Year or more is the horizon for households that consider themselves fully prepared. Freeze-dried food and dry foods packed in Mylar bags with oxygen absorbers do the heavy lifting, since this tier has to survive being ignored for years. Build it in layers as budget and space allow. There is no prize for rushing. Building on a budget. Almost nobody buys a stockpile in one trip, and trying to is how you end up with a shelf of food nobody eats. Add a few dollars to your normal grocery run and buy the sale instead. If beans are half off and your family eats beans, buy four instead of one. Do that every week and your food stockpile builds itself out of money you are already spending. This is also the honest line between stockpiling and hoarding. Buying an extra jar of peanut butter every week for a year is preparedness. Clearing a shelf the day before a storm is not, and it takes dinner from the person in line behind you. Shelf life realities. Most people read the printed date as the moment food goes bad, and for the most part it is not. Learning what those dates actually mean lets you rotate on real information rather than throwing away good food out of caution. What the dates mean? Best buy and use by dates are quality guides, not safety cliffs. The manufacturer is telling you when the product is at its peak, not when it turns dangerous. Canned goods well past a printed date are usually fine when the can is sound. Judge food by its condition rather than its calendar. Infant formula is the exception worth respecting, because that date is a real limit. How long food really lasts? Canned goods run 2 to 5 years, and often much longer if it can stay sound. Dry staples like white rice, beans, and pasta keep several years in the pantry, and decades sealed in Mylar with an oxygen absorber. Fats and oils are the short timers at 1 to 2 years, because they go rancid on their own schedule regardless of packaging. Freeze-dried and dehydrated foods reach 25 years or more in proper packaging. Salt, sugar, and honey keep essentially forever. Honey found in ancient tombs was still honey. Home canned goods are best inside a year, which is far shorter than the commercial can they resemble. Spotting food that has turned. Trust your senses and stay on the cautious side. Discard any can that bulges, leaks, sprays when opened, or shows deep rust, and do not taste it to check. Watch dry goods for mold, off smells, clumping from moisture, or insects. Rancid oil smells sharp and sour and you will know it immediately. When in doubt, throw it out. No jar of anything is worth being sick during the week you can least afford it. Securing your stockpile. A food stockpile is worth protecting, and the realistic risk is quieter than the one people picture. It is not a mob at the door. It is that people talk. A stockpile everyone knows about becomes the food everyone remembers when the shelves empty, and you end up having a conversation you never planned for at the worst possible time. Keeping your reserve private is basic OPSEC, and best practice. WHO already knows. Take stock of who has seen your supply. Guests, delivery drivers, contractors, and the neighbor who helped you carry buckets in from the car. Children mention things at school, which is not their fault and not worth scolding them over. It is simply a reason to keep the reserve somewhere other than the room where their friends play. Keep it out of sight. Choose a space out of casual view, which is one of the conditions covered in the food storage guide. A closed door does most of the work here, and there is no need for anything elaborate. Label for yourself rather than for an audience. Contents and date on the lid where you will read them beats the same information on the front of a container facing the room. You still get the rotation you need, and a visitor gets a wall of anonymous buckets. Spread it out. Keep your food stockpile in more than one place. Splitting it across 2 or 3 spaces means a flood, a fire, a freezer failure, or one unexpected visitor cannot cost you everything at once. This is the same logic as distributing your protein so it does not all live in the freezer. Spread the reserve out and any single loss stays survivable. Decide now who you would help. The hardest part of a food stockpile is not building it. It is deciding what you will do when someone you care about needs food and you have some. Decide now, while nobody is hungry and nothing is at stake. Some households set aside a giving portion, kept separate from the family reserve, so that generosity does not come out of their own children's dinners. Some choose specific people they would help and quietly plan for the extra mouths. Whatever you land on, deciding early is what keeps a hard moment from becoming an impossible one. A food shortage is a real danger and a stockpile is a real answer to it. Thinking through the human side of it now is part of the same preparation. Conclusion A. Food stockpile is groceries bought early. That is all it is, and that is exactly why it works. Start with the meals your family already eats. Reach 2 weeks, then 3 months, then further if you choose. Add a few dollars to each shopping trip and buy the sale. Learn what the dates really mean so you rotate on facts instead of fear. Keep it quiet, spread it out, and decide early who you would share it with. Your food storage system keeps it good. Preservation, gardening, hunting, and fishing keep it coming. Your stockpile is the part that is ready today, and today is the only part anyone can count on.